Well, it's really nice to be here. If you've not seen my face before, just to let you know, just to introduce myself and my wife, we are from Worthing in Sussex, and I've lived there all my life, apart from when we lived in Kenya, and a short stretch when we first got married, out in Hove, 10 miles from Worthing. We've got four daughters, we've got seven grandchildren, the oldest is 16, the youngest is 7, and what else can I say? We have, in the past, we have been in church leadership in Worthing, and we started Child to Child in 1999, and this afternoon we'll talk to you a lot about that. So this morning I'm just going to preach. Okay, so if you want to hear more about Hope in Africa and all that sort of thing, and if you're not staying for lunch, do come back by 2 o'clock. Okay, now I've got my... Right. So, one thing that churches want to do is to see a harvest. I mean, our church in Worthing really want to see people coming in, seeing the Lord meet people. And that is the same over the whole world, everywhere. They want to see a harvest. And last year I was asked to talk about harvest in Malawi. And it came to me straight away. You can't have a harvest until you've got your seed. And the first thing you need to ask is, have you got any seed? Okay, so I'm going to ask you this morning the same sort of question that I asked the Malawian people back last year. Have you got any seed that you can plant in people's lives? Okay, so some people will say, yes, I've got lots. I've got so much that God has given me that I can give out to people here and there. Perhaps you might say, well, I haven't got very much, Matthew. I've just got a little something. I mean, if you've got a nice car, all right, I followed a BMW here this morning. Very nice BMW. If you've got a nice car and you've got absolutely no fuel in it, it's useless, isn't it? You can't do anything with it if you haven't got fuel in it. And in one sense, it's the same with us. If we're here and we want to see people come into the Lord, we've got to have something first before we can minister out. When I was in Bible school back in the late 80s, something that a person said which really impacted my life was, if it moves you, it'll move other people. So it's no good sharing something dry and irrelevant, perhaps even. But if something you hear from the Lord really stirs your heart, you can pretty much guarantee if you share that with others, it'll stir their hearts. So, have you got seed? Switch that on as well, that'll help. Okay, so what is the seed that we're talking about this morning? Well, we're going to go to Mark chapter 4 in the parable of the sower. It's the best place. And what I want to do this morning is just pick on different verses, okay? And I'm going to put them on the screen, most of the ones that I've got. And I'm a New King James person, okay? So I'm sorry if you're reading a different version. And some of our words might not match exactly, but hopefully we'll get the same sense. All right, so question number one, what is the seed? And in Mark chapter 4, verse 3, Jesus says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And that's what we want to do as Christians, isn't it? We want to go out, we want to sow. So we've got to make sure that we've got our basket full of our seed. And later in the parable, or at the end, the parable's finished, and Jesus is with his disciples. And in verse 14, he says, the sower sows the word. So straight away we're seeing that actually it's the word of God, that is the seed that's so important for you and for me to have in ourselves and to give out to others. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus actually quotes Deuteronomy, and he's talking to Satan in the wilderness, and Jesus answered him and said, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So not just is it to sit down at 7 o'clock in the morning for half an hour before you get ready for work, or at the end of the day before you go to sleep, just have a quick read, to get topped up. It's life. It's life for you and me. If we didn't have this word, goodness me, I don't know what I'd do. We couldn't point others to somewhere where we couldn't find out about it for ourselves. So it's really important that the word of God as seed goes into us. Now I want to use Psalm 119 and some of the words in that this morning to highlight what the word can do for you and for me. Okay. So here we go. So verse 9 of 119. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. The word of God is cleansing. Okay, the word of God is cleansing. Someone prayed this earlier on about sin, things like that. If there's sin in our hearts, the word can come and can clean us. It's wonderful, isn't it? Verse 11. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. With the word of God in our hearts, we can hide it there. Okay? Someone was talking recently about the fact that we're a bit like vessels, but we've got cracks and holes and things in, and everything leaks out. But I tell you, the word of God can come in and we can hide it in our hearts. It's amazing that when we need the word to come as an encouragement or whatever, it's there because we've read it. We've read it first. It's hidden in our hearts. And then when circumstances come, and I'll say a little bit about this a bit later on, that God brings it back to our memory. And even though our memories might be not very good, somehow the spiritual memory, God works in us, doesn't he? I delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Even if we think our memories are going, my mum is coming to 88 next month, and I can ask her at 2 o'clock what she had for lunch, and she can't remember. She can remember when she left her hometown in 1953 to come to Worthing, but she can't remember what she had for lunch. But the word stays in our spirit, doesn't it? Verse 28, he says, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Now, rather than comment on it, I'm going to get Michelle to come and give a brief testimony about being strengthened by God's word.
Okay, so when we had been in Kenya for just 12 weeks, knowing that it was the right place for us to be, Matthew got really sick, very, very, very ill. And it was a very scary time. He had a heartbeat of 200 beats a minute for 18 days, and he couldn't breathe properly. We'd been to one hospital, and they said, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. So it was like, well, what do we do now? And then the pastor prayed, and he said, I think God is stretching you. And anyway, we were directed to another hospital, and they said, you are really sick. You have double pneumonia. We are hospitalising you. And, of course, there was a fast heartbeat as well. So we were whisked off to Nairobi, and got in, and the Matthew's seeing the consultant, and they're saying, okay, so first we want £3,000 as a deposit before you even are admitted. We didn't have that much in the country, let alone in our bank account in England. So it's like, well, Lord, what do we do? It's just, so I left Matthew with the consulting man, and I just stayed in the waiting room. And it was 11:30 at night, okay, sitting in the waiting room, and just kind of praying to the Lord, knowing we're in the right place. So I felt safe, because I knew we were in the place that God wanted us. But it was like, Lord, you know we haven't got this money. You know, we're stuck. There's nothing we can do. We're in your hand. Lord, please, will you help us? And obviously I was worried. And there was this TV program on, just a soap opera, 11:30 at night in hospital, okay. And then this lady actress says, it's all in God's hands. Now, in a sense, that was enough for me. And I was sitting there thinking, Lord, thank you that you can speak through a TV program. But then this lady actress says, you're talking about Matthew, aren't you? And I'm thinking, huh? And then she says again, it's all in God's hands. And in my mind, God's hands, God's hands. Matthew in the middle. And I just thought, I mean, it makes my hair kind of come on the back of my neck, even when I think about it now, how wonderful it is that God can come in any way he chooses. If we've got an open heart to hear what he says, and I tell you, my heart just rested in him. I felt such peace, such joy, knowing that he had everything in his hands. And then Matthew came out and he said, it's all right, we've talked about, they asked me about insurance and all that. And when I told them I didn't have insurance, they said, that's fine, that's different. And in the end, our bill was only about £300. And I mean, God worked in it. And I was able to leave him in the hospital and go to the local YMCA, which is an absolute, don't ever go there. But I tell you, I slept peacefully, knowing that God had everything in his hands.
Yeah. I was in there for 24 hours, and they they gave me the medicine for a double pneumonia, and they found the reason for my heartbeat. And I had this problem for years and years and years, and it took us to go to Kenya to find out the cause of the problem. And the guy said, I can operate on you. It'll only be £4,000. I said, I think I can go home and have it done on the NHS, which I did. Good old NHS. So, verse 38 says, establish your word to your servant. Do you ever get in a situation where you think, I'm all over the place here. I don't know what to do. I need to sit. I need to know that I'm doing the right thing. I need to know that God is with me. I need to know that God is really helping me at this time. And His word can establish us. The very first time I went to Africa in 1990, I was in Uganda. I'd been to Tanzania. I went over to Uganda, and I was sitting on someone's back step, and they were trying to teach me some of the local language of Luganda, and I wasn't getting it. I'm not a language person at all. And they were saying, and next door, someone fired a gun in the back garden of next door. You should have seen us move. We were in the house, all of us. Door was locked. All the bolts were... I was back in my room, and I put the nail across, which was the door lock, and into my PJs, into my bed, mosquito net down, trembling. Because earlier that day, I had been to see a German guy who was living in the particular town, and he had showed me the grave of his worker, because thieves had come, tried to get this worker to take him to the German guy to get all his money. The worker said no, so they shot him. So that's all going around my mind. These people are after what I've got. Well, Africans think that, or the Ugandans, they think that every white man has got loads of money, okay? I had just enough to see me through. But I'm sitting there in my bed, petrified. Ever been there? I mean, obviously you've not been to Tarura in Uganda and been threatened with a gun, but perhaps you've been petrified. Perhaps you've been really scared about the situation that you're in. And before I left home to go to Tanzania and Uganda, Psalm 91, I really felt God speak that to me. I thought, oh, I'm going to go back and read Psalm 91 again. So I went back to it. Now, I haven't got a slide for this, but I shall turn to it. Psalm 91 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Verse 3 says, "Surely he'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you shall take refuge. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you." You know what? It wasn't just words that I read off the page. I read that. It won't come near you. And inside, I just thought, oh, thank you, Lord. Your word is applying itself to my situation. I lay down and went to sleep. Had a good night's sleep, woke up the next morning. No one else in the house slept all night. They were all petrified all night of what was going to happen. Of course, nothing did happen because God had given me a promise. I said, I'm really sorry. I should have come out and told everybody what God has said to me. But I felt established. God's word came, settled my heart. You know? Has anything like that happened to you? Where God has spoken and it's just, that's settled it. We've got we had a friend who was a missionary in Hong Kong for years and years and years, and she used to come to prayer meetings with her walking stick and that. She kind of said, "God says it, I believe it." That settles it. She's with the Lord now. She was so encouraging as a person. Verse 41, it says, "Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word." Well, it's pretty obvious that the God's word can bring salvation. If we're speaking God's word to somebody, or perhaps this morning you're hearing God's word and you're thinking, this is what I want. You know, quite often people say, don't they, that you've got something that I haven't got. What is it? You know, people at work, people you rub shoulders with quite often, they say, what is it that you've got that I haven't got? Your word, his word can bring salvation. Verse 49, "Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope." God's word brings hope, doesn't it, eh? It brings hope. When you go to some places in particularly East Africa, where I've been, where we've lived, you see people who are hopeless. I think of one area down near a town called Eldoret, and you drive through this village, and we drove through this village when it was raining. Everything was brown. The houses looked drab. The people looked drab. And they were just going about their day. And I could see there was no hope in this village. And then when recently I was in Uganda and I was trying to line up some young people for sponsorship, and their pictures are over there now, and I was trying to line them up. So I sat with each one and we had a chat with each of these young people and talked to them. And then a couple of days later, the person I was working with there, he came to me and said, "Do you know what? Those young people, they're walking around with a great big smile on their face. Everyone you interviewed has got a big smile on their face because you've given them hope. My word gave them hope." So what can God's word do for people who are hopeless? "This is my comfort," says verse 50, "in my affliction. Your word has given me life. One of the boys that we looked after when we lived in Kenya from 2012 to 2017 wrote a message to us recently. Most of the boys we helped are doing well, but one of them isn't, and he's had a tragic life. And he actually spent, the last time he saw his mum was 1998. And he lived on the streets, he was rescued by our friends, he came and lived with us eventually in 2012. We got him through his secondary education, his college education. But all the time he was thinking, where's my mum? Every Mother's Day he took a dive, wouldn't talk to us, except when he wanted money. We left him, when we came home in 2017, he was the one that cried his eyes out. We'd set him up, he'd got a place to live, he'd finished his college, he'd got a job, and what have you. But then last year, he actually found his mum. And found out that she was an alcoholic. And his big brother as well. And he wrote a message, he said, Dad, I feel dead inside. And the answer for Sam is the word of God. To bring life. Now can we say drummed it into him? Every time we talked, for the 5 years we were there, we were encouraging them to receive the Lord. I mean, we weren't Bible bashers. You know, we lived with them every day. We had devotions and each morning when it was school holidays. They heard the word in those times. We lived it out the rest of the time. But he's still at the point where he says, I feel dead. Now, I wonder whether there's anybody here this morning who would honestly say, well, actually, I feel a bit like that. I feel a bit dead inside. What's the solution? Your word gives life. Carol was saying, wasn't she, at the beginning, about having soft and open hearts. If our hearts are open and our hearts are soft, let's let this word come. Let it come in and do its work in us. Realising we're running out of time, so I'm going to whiz. There we are. Simon Peter said to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Why is it that people always make God the last port of call? Try this, try that, do this, do the other. And in the end, it's like, okay, I've got to go to God. How many times do we say, oh, I wish I hadn't have gone and spoken to that person first. I wish I'd have just gone straight to the Lord. Well, here's an encouragement to do that. Go to the Lord. He's the one. There's no one else. No one else can sort you out. No one else can sort me out. It's only him that's got the words of eternal life. Right, to finish. Matthew 13, 24 to 26, it says this, the kingdom of heaven, this is Jesus again giving a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. While he slept, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. If you've got a garden, who's put those weeds there? Yeah. But then he says this, as he's talking about what's the meaning of this parable? He says this, he who sows the good seed is a son of man. The field is the word, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. Now hang on, a minute ago I'm saying, well, the word of God is a seed. Well, yes it is. But actually Jesus is also telling us that we are the seeds. If we are sons of the kingdom. Okay. So, here's a question for you this morning. Can Jesus sow you? Can he sow you into other people's lives? Or is he saying, I'm just waiting for that person to really come to me and hand over their lives to me and surrender to me, and then I'll be able to sow them? Jesus said this in John. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Now, I wonder if that's you this morning. Are you thinking, well, actually, I really want this word. I really want the word to come in and to do those things that you've said in my life. I'm really thirsty for it. That's what I really need. That's the second section. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. So this is a two-parter. First, are you thirsty? That's the first thing. Are you thirsty? You know, here in England, we're not really thirsty. Okay, we might have a hot summer's day and we think, oh, crumbs, I've not had 2 litres of water today. But we're not really thirsty. I met some people just a few months ago who had all their belongings washed away in a cyclone in March. And in September, the riverbeds are dry. There's no water around. That's thirst. You know when you're thirsty. So are you thirsty this morning? Jesus says, let them come and drink. Come to me and drink. And then we believe. We believe what God says, and yeah. The rich young ruler went away sorrowing. He didn't believe. Jairus, when he asked Jesus to come and heal his daughter, and even though the people said she's dead, Jairus didn't fall down in a heap on the ground. Jesus said, just believe, just come with me. And he got up and he walked. He believed, he put it into action. So if you're thirsty, you can hear God's word, you can believe what he says, and then from there, Jesus can plant you. In this life, in that life. Steve was saying earlier, wasn't he, about the fact that his great-grandmother had prayed for the family and he's the fruit. Michelle had prayed for her dad ever since she'd become a Christian when she was 7, something like that. She prayed for her father, who wasn't a Christian, and she prayed for him, sowed words into his life year after year. He moved to Thailand to be with a new lady and he had a new family there, and then he became sick. We went to see him in the end of 2016, just before he passed away. And he came to the Lord. All that sowing that had been done into that man's life, it took him his entire life. But God did it. Whose life is God wanting to sow you into? But it's got to start here with us being thirsty. So I'm just going to pray. It's time's up. Just going to pray, and then Michelle, I'd like to sing to you. If that's all right. Is that okay, Steve? All right, good. Just got to check with the boss. Carol, is that okay? So, let's just pray for a moment. And then we'll sing. Father, we thank you that your word is amazing. Lord, it reaches out and it touches our hearts in so many ways. It brings about salvation. It brings about life. It brings comfort. It establishes and strengthens us. Lord, it gives us the solution to problems that have been perplexing us. So we thank you that your word is available for us today. And we thank you too, Lord, that we can be seeds sown into other people's lives. And Lord, Lord, we want to come this morning. We want to be thirsty for this. We want to drink in all that you've got for us. Lord, we don't want to be walking around on empty, Lord. We want to be full of what you have got for us. Lord, we want to be the sons of the kingdom that can be used by the sower. So we ask you this morning to look at the response of our hearts, Lord. That we might be, Lord, we want to bless others, Lord, but we need you to bless us. We need you to come and fill us. Lord, we want to be thirsty for that living water, for that word to come and to work in us, to transform our lives, that we can be given out to others. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen.